all across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Real information, good conversation. Unabashedly Wisconsin. Here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense. It's a Monday, January 30th, and it is a cold morning on Lake Wissota. It is 8 below up here, and we are quite likely to stay below zero all day long, or maybe just barely poke above it here. And that's going to be the shape of things for at least another couple of days here. So I know that nobody likes to, you know, think that you're the one that's not dressing your kid properly for the bus stop, but there's only somebody. So I'm going to say it again. If your kids are going to the bus stop, just make extra sure. And, you know, maybe don't even take their word for it that a pair of sleep pants is going to get it done. You know, this might be the day for the heavy stuff. Hope everybody had a great weekend. Aaron Zommers is here as well. Aaron, I trust your weekend was adequate, if not overwhelming. You didn't win the lottery. You're here, but everything else hopefully went all right.
Yeah. Mostly stayed home, mm-hmm. and that is all right with me.
How about yourself? Catch either of the conference football games?
No, that I did not do. Yesterday I was out to dinner with my friends, and then mm-hmm. One of us checked the score, and we're like, "Oh, guess we see who's going to the Super Bowl now."
Yeah, I mean, San Francisco got killed by the Philadelphia Eagles. It helps when you knock both San Francisco quarterbacks out of the game. And then Kansas City held off Cincinnati. So it'll be Kansas City versus Philadelphia in 2 weeks in the Super Bowl. Coming up this morning, the premiere of Motherhood Mondays. Kate Duffy and Nicole Slavin were among the founders of Moms for Mandela, a group dedicated to helping explain last year's campaign issues to parents who are too busy to follow politics with any regularity. Now, after Wisconsin's closest U.S. Senate race in 100 years, they have decided to continue finding ways to make important political matters more understandable, accessible to parents and others, renaming the group Motherhood for Good. And so we'll introduce their every other Monday series of guests and timely topics. Also, Wisconsin has some true masters of misinformation in elective office who spend so much more time on social media than on doing anything productive like, you know, passing bills or solving problems. And so today we'll also explain how right-wing politicians and media use terminology like, you know, people are saying as a crutch to justify spreading things that they only wish were true. And Western Wisconsin's newest congressman, Derek Van Orden, provides our most recent example of that. Also, Dr. Kristen Lyerly and Terry Bell both stop by for visits. And you can reach the show here at 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. Our email address is radio@upnorthnews.wi. Had to bring that up here and bring the coffee cup a little closer. You'll recall a couple of weeks back, we were on vacation in Costa Rica, and friends that we were with sent us back with a couple of bags of Costa Rican coffee. I'm not a coffee snob by any stretch of the imagination whatsoever. I will tell you that after a couple of weeks of that, I went back to the regular stuff that everybody buys off the grocery shelf, which is adequate, but boy, you can really tell the difference. And I say that as somebody who has not been a coffee drinker that long, but yeah, there was definitely a difference between the regular store-bought stuff.
Oh yeah, I may not be a coffee drinker, but I used to work at Starbucks, so I used to be. And you can really tell a difference between different qualities of coffee. It's surprising.
Yeah. So, again, I don't think we're going to go all, you know, hoity-toity and get imported coffee all the time. Just noting that, you know, I'm going to miss this bag when it's all used up. Over the weekend, went to the Twin Cities since we're over here on the western side of the state. Saw a Minnesota Wild game in St. Paul. The St. Paul Winter Carnival Grand Day Parade was going on. You know, just nice to see people having fun with the outdoors. What we see here on Lake Wissota for people having fun with the outdoors is putting themselves in little tiny shacks out on the ice. And there are people who like that very much. That is not my speed. So being able to go to a, you know, hockey game and do some other fun stuff at night, that's my idea of a good time. We're not going to dwell a lot on the two graphic videos that were released on Friday. There is the one out of Memphis with Tyre Nichols being murdered by cops. There's also House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's husband, Paul Pelosi, very nearly being murdered by an intruder while police were standing right there, which leads to its own observation, you know, about if that hadn't been a, you know, doofy looking white guy, if that person had been, black or another person of color, I don't think he'd have gotten a chance to swing that hammer. Just given how many instances we see of what happens when suspects look one way versus another. There was not an upswell of violence in Memphis or any place, but please do not mistake the lack of violence for a lack of outrage. And do not think that the lack of violence means that public sentiment is against police reform. It most certainly does want to see problems. Of course, we saw the soulless ghouls of right-wing media present themselves in both cases on the police video saying, well, let's wait for the toxicology report. And on the Pelosi video, again, the spreading of misinformation, a focus of today's show. And this weekend showed a lot about what those folks are like. And again, that lack of humanity that thankfully the rest of us have. We'll do that in more headlines throughout the show here on Up North News Radio. Six on a Monday morning. This is Up North News Radio. I'm Pat Brightlow. It's a Monday, which means that tonight at 7 o'clock on the Civic Media radio stations, you can hear the Paul Revere Show. It is not hosted by Paul Revere. It is hosted by Mark Thompson, an attorney and member of the Wisconsin Elections Commission. But much in the spirit of Paul Revere, he is trying to warn people about the perilous position Wisconsin finds itself in, especially in terms of its democracy. Mark talks about what's at risk, meets players on both sides, and talks about how you can do your part in fostering a free, fair, and robust elections system in the state and eventually the nation. Again, that's the Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson, Monday nights at 7 here on Civic Media. On the Up North News website, a couple of stories that I wanted to share and also lead into our question of the week. We have how Wisconsin's April election will impact your life for the next 10 plus years. And don't forget that April election starts with a February 21st primary. Also, renters are struggling, but the Biden administration introduced new protections for them over the past week. And also this story, are you middle class? Well, 61% of Americans were considered middle class in 1971. The latest data shows that number is down to about 50% or so, which leads to our question, what's your definition of middle class in the United States? Is it an income range? Is it something about a lifestyle? Head over to the Up North News Facebook page and just head to the video feed of this show. Yes, this show, you can watch it live on video or watch the video later at your leisure. It's just a separate post in our stream at Up North News on Facebook. And give us your thoughts in the comment section on what constitutes the middle class. Let's check sports as we often do this time of the morning. We mentioned already the Super Bowl is going to be Kansas City versus Philadelphia, Chiefs versus the Eagles. The let's go to college men's basketball here. Marquette beat DePaul 89-69 on Saturday. The Golden Eagles moved into a tie with Xavier atop the Big East, and the Marquette men will host Villanova on Wednesday. Meanwhile, the Badgers have now lost 6 of their last 7, including 3 in a row, after losing to Illinois on Saturday, 61-51. The Badgers will be at Ohio State on Thursday, and I have lost my Bucks schedule, so I'm going to have to hit a thing or two here. Well, we get that. I will say that there are 4 home games for the Bucks this week. There was yesterday's game, and then there are games Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday. for the Bucks, but they were playing, let's see, they were playing New Orleans, weren't they? Yeah, New Orleans on, oh, there we go. The Bucks defeated the New Orleans Pelicans 135 to 110. And again, three more home games yet this week. Tuesday against Charlotte, Thursday against the LA Clippers, and Saturday against Miami. So there's your look at sports as we get going on a Monday morning. Let's take a little time to talk about how right-wing politicians and media use the phrase people are saying as a crutch to justify spreading untrue or unsubstantiated claims about a political opponent. Wisconsin has some real masters of misinformation that way. People who are awfully good at talking trash rather than, you know, doing anything productive. And we have a few examples of that here. The one we talk about most often, the one who really does put on a master class in misinformation is Ron Johnson. And we're going to refer back to him in just a moment because he has been so prevalent in misinformation distribution that at one point the FBI had to sit him down and say, here's what's really going on. And you know, you need to stop feeding that because it's not true. But before we review again, Senator Johnson, what prompted this was a tweet on Friday by Wisconsin's newest member of Congress, Republican Derek Van Orden of the 3rd District. And he is, of course, tweeting with starting a Fox News headline all about how two high-profile Democrats were not allowed to serve on their usual congressional committees by new Republican House Speaker Kevin McCarthy, who himself is basing that decision. Well, I was going to say he's basing it on misinformation. No, he's not. He based that decision on pure politics. He's the one spreading the misinformation, both about Adam Schiff and about Eric Swalwell, while at the same time putting people like, you know, Marjorie Taylor Greene on very important committees as well. Well, Derek Van Orden puts up the headline from Fox News, and there's going to be a naughty word in here for this early in the morning, but I just want you to know what the new congressman from Wisconsin is saying. After putting up the Fox News headline, he writes the following. This is what the media wants you to believe. Adam Schiff bitches about being dumped from House Intel on TikTok, a platform owned by the Chinese Communist Party, as he defends a fellow Democrat who was having an intimate relationship with a Chinese spy. But it's Republicans who are radical. Now, there's a lie, and there's something in there that is, you know, tenuous at best in terms of something being truthful. And that, of course, is about TikTok. I'm not saying that TikTok is clean. I'm not saying that it doesn't have connections to China. I'm saying it's a convenient one for certain people to grab when we all know what Facebook is capable of and doing. We know what Elon Musk is doing with Twitter. But to pick the one owned by the Chinese, you know, happens to be convenient when you have a House Republican caucus that can't solve any problems here in America. So it's all about distraction. Look at China. Look at those people from Central America. Look at those people trying to come across the border. It's just very easy. But the one that I really want to take some time on is, as he says in the tweet, a Democrat who was having an intimate relationship with a Chinese spy. It's not true. It's been set, you know, laid out that way for a couple of years, but that does not stop Republicans and the right-wing media from telling lies about California Congressman Eric Swalwell and whatever kind of tie that he may have to a Chinese national who had been living in this country for some time and turned out to be some sort of a spy. Now, keep in mind that I'm going to say a lot of this as somebody who has run for office, has served in office, has received campaign contributions from all manner of folks. And somewhere out there, some folks like to give you this picture that every candidate knows every donor, that they rub elbows with all of them. And honestly, candidates and people serving in office can't possibly know all their donors. shouldn't really have to. They should, you know, work for their constituents and not their donors. But all it takes is one bad one for you to be painted with a very broad brush. And so the person here, the suspected Chinese intelligence operative, is the one who was helping raise money for this California congressman. And so let's talk a bit about that report, and then let's talk about what's not in it. First, another sip of that Costa Rican coffee. All right, let me get her name right here. Christine Fang. She was targeting up-and-coming local politicians in the San Francisco Bay Area, which has, of course, a very large Chinese-American population. So that is not a big surprise. All of this is coming from the national political digital newsroom Axios, which you can find at axios.com. And they did an investigation, and that report came out 2 years ago about how Christine Fang was quite likely working for the Chinese government. And the article was designed to show that, you know, when we think of spying, we think of somebody wants to target a member of Congress right now and get all kinds of classified information from that person. When in reality, what China does, what the U.S. does, what Russia does, in some instances, is very much play the long game, in that you will put people in certain positions and they will try to identify what you would call up-and-comers, people who, like Eric Swalwell, were not a member of Congress at the time. He was some kind of a local official. Forget if he was on a city council or what it was. And then eventually he did run for Congress and lose, and then he would later run for Congress again. But he was one of many politicians that Christine Fang helped identify as people that she should be watching, people she should be getting to know. And she eventually left the country under rather abrupt circumstances. And this Axios report, just, you know, talking to friends and associates and looking at records, paints a picture of how this person most likely was an operative, a spy for China, who was not looking to get classified information. You don't need all of the top secrets. You know, somebody might be going to get those, but what you need is just some political information. Who is this person? Where do they serve? You know, what's their birthday? What are their causes? What do they like? And this Christine Fang was apparently doing that with many politicians. And sometimes she would get too close to them. She is said to have had romantic relationships, the Axios report says, with at least two Midwestern mayors. And that's it. That's the extent of her romantic relationships, at least as far as, you know, what's known there. But of course, now, anytime you mention Christine Fang, you can imply that there may have been even more with, you know, what she was doing with all of the many politicians across the country that she met. She would frequent political events in the West Coast. She would frequent political events involving the U.S. Conference of Mayors. Because again, they're all up and comers. That your next member of Congress might be a mayor someplace. And that member of Congress might run for president someday. And now you'll have years worth of information about them that could come into play. It's why when you do have dealings with foreign nationals or foreign governments or foreign bank accounts, we ask that our candidates be transparent and say so, so that we can be looking for any apparent conflict of interest or the possibility of a future conflict of interest. So it's important for political figures to disclose where there are these ties, these potential vulnerabilities. You know who didn't do that? That's right, Donald Trump never told us about some of his foreign bank accounts, never told us about some of his foreign financial obligations, which meant that he could have been used as a pawn. He could have had leverage used against him to have him do things that are not in the best interest of the United States. And yes, you're a step ahead of me. It's not that he could have done it. It's that he most likely did. And that's where Derek Van Orden should be directing, you know, what he is saying. But of course, because Eric Swalwell is a Democrat, somebody who was a frequent target of Donald Trump, it's a lot easier, it's a lot lazier to say, well, This Christine Fang was following Eric Swalwell, helping raise money for him as well as other politicians. And she slept with a couple of Midwestern mayors. And so obviously there must be a romantic relationship with Congressman Swalwell, right? Even though the FBI said no, everybody that investigated said no, she was simply collecting donations. And when the FBI told Swalwell, he severed all ties with her. That's what you're supposed to do when you get a defensive briefing from law enforcement. Not attack the FBI, as Ron Johnson did when he was warned that he was spreading misinformation on behalf of a foreign government. Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us for a little weekly visit on a Monday morning next here on Up North News Radio. I'll be the last to know.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
Boy, are you people in luck this week. You're not getting the usual double dose of Kristen Lyerly. You're getting a triple dose this week on not just Monday and Thursday, but again this Wednesday. We'll talk about that a bit later. If we get to talk to Kristen Lyerly three times this week, because somebody was performing on stage over the weekend at Doctors in Recital, and she literally left it all out on stage, including her voice. So what little bit of it is left here for Kristen Lyerly to say good morning.
Good morning. I just have a little cold. That's all.
But I'm sure you performed your heart out for the benefit event over the weekend.
What'd you do?
Now you can tell us. What did you do?
My 16-year-old son, Lindsay, and I sang If I Had $1 Million by the Bare Naked Ladies. And we did it in a real campy way with lots of friends on stage. My oldest son, Abe, playing bass. It was just a lot of fun.
That's awesome. And again, if you missed that part of Hometown Health, that Thursday segment a couple of weeks back, remind everybody, you know, what Doctors in Recital is and why you do this and who it benefits.
So Doctors in Recital is this local annual variety show where doctors and other health professionals from across the northeastern Wisconsin get together and put on a fabulous performance, a bunch of fabulous performances at the Widener Center on the UWGB campus and raise money for local charities. So this year it was the Brown County Community Gardens, it was the East High School Choral Department, and the Birder School of Performing Arts, which my son happens to be a student with. So it was like doubly meaningful for me.
That's awesome. Well, good. I'm glad that that went well. And somewhere along the line, you picked up a tiny bug, but you know we're going to get you back. Going to get you back at full speed in no time whatsoever. Because especially since you're joining us Wednesday, you want to We have a guest that's coming on, a person you know, and we're going to talk a bit about the Wisconsin State Supreme Court race.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it from an LGBTQIA plus angle. So a dear friend of mine who is a trans woman here in the Green Bay area and an esteemed attorney is going to give us a little insight on not only the Supreme Court piece and who some of these candidates are, but what this means to that obviously very vulnerable community. It's going to be quite a show.
And it's going to be quite an election, which, again, I will say it is so important to vote in the primary on February 21st, as well as be mindful of the April 4th general election, because this will determine the balance of the state Supreme Court, which means we could be looking back and re-examining the rigged maps. We could be going back and re-examining the state's 1849 abortion ban. But for that to happen, at least one of the two progressive candidates has to advance out of that February primary. It's not a partisan primary. There are four candidates in there, and the top two advance to April. And it could be the two conservative candidates rather than the two progressive ones. And so that February 21st election is important. And thanks to Kristen's constant badgering, I did apply for my absentee ballot at myvote.wi.gov. So that absentee ballot is on the way, and you guys should be doing the same.
That's awesome, Pat. And let's just point out that a primary election for a spring election in Wisconsin, usually we don't have a lot of voters. No. So if you think that your vote doesn't count, my friend, this time around, your vote absolutely counts.
Oh yeah, it is. It is amplified, and get some other friends to vote too. In fact, our friend Kirk Bangstead at Minocqua Brewing Company is having an event. Is it Friday of this week?
Thursday. Groundhog Day.
Okay. Groundhog Day, which is also Kirk's birthday, and he's having an event at the Rigby in downtown Madison to get people to come in, be part of the party, and sign up for a volunteer shift for one of the progressive candidates. And again, nobody's required to do it, but the whole point of the event is to strongly encourage people to sign up for a volunteer shift, which is, you know, nothing more than letting people know there's this big, important primary election. Here are the stakes. Here's why you should vote. And so if you go to the Minocqua Brewing Company Facebook page, you'll get more information about the event and about the race and everything else. And I wouldn't surprise me if there was a Kristen Lierley sighting down there at some point. You know,
I'm thinking about it. I love how Kirk takes it to the next level. We're all like, ask a friend, ask three. Kirk's like, I'm just going to throw a party.
Yeah.
I want everyone to come. I want everyone to vote. It's huge for him. It's very personal for him. So this is exciting. We got to get out and vote. It's the future of our state, really, that's at stake.
We were talking before the break about misinformation and how some right-wing politicians are just masters of using that, using the people are saying, spreading rumors and innuendo, even if it's unsubstantiated. And we talked in the last hour about how Congressman Derek Van Orden put up a flat out lie about another member of Congress just as a way again to, because he's working so hard to prove that he can be a moderate. And then he gets on Twitter now and then and reminds us that he's not. Well, I didn't get to the example from Northern Wisconsin and Congressman Tom Tiffany, you know, another Republican who's never been a slave to rhetorical accuracy, pun intended, because the person better known around Northern Wisconsin as Toxic Tom Tiffany, who perhaps never met a wetland he wouldn't fill, a tree he wouldn't turn into sawdust, or a watershed into which he wouldn't plop a mine or a pipeline. In his view, any effort to keep his corporate friends from plowing through pristine places means you're against jobs or that you support slave labor. And Kristen, I happen to know you're a progressive. And so I can ask you, you know, quite honestly, do you support slave labor in any way, shape, or form?
Who even uses words like that anymore?
Well, Tom Tiffany does in talking about China. Again, if Tom Tiffany's not talking about Mexico and Central America, he's talking about China. He's not talking about, you know, things that are good and could be productive up here. Last year, Tiffany used that inference with a witness over her opposition to a mining proposal near the Boundary Waters canoe area. Mm-hmm. The witness he was badgering was a college sophomore who quite rightly saw it as problematic that you would engage in a pollution spewing mine near a natural treasure, near a national treasure. So it wasn't a surprise for me to see Tiffany late last week, right about the time of Derek Van Orden's tweet. Tiffany tweeted that Democrats support slave labor mining in China, using false equivalency to its furthest extreme, that not wanting a pollution spewing mine in the Midwest must be the same as supporting whatever China does. And frankly, spreading the untruth about Americans and favoring slavery, that's designed to distract from what is true. What is true is Tiffany is okay with sulfide mining in sensitive areas of Wisconsin, Minnesota, and elsewhere. There's a way, as you know, to prove that he's not in favor of pollution spewing mining, and that is you would say, look, if you want to put a mine in northern Wisconsin, show us that you've done the same thing someplace else and that it hasn't polluted, and it hasn't polluted for years after the mine was done. If that's the case, then that's the kind of mining activity that would be productive in a sensitive environmental area. Instead, that was already on the books in Wisconsin, but Tom Tiffany is the guy who got that protection removed from state law and has never stopped advocating to plop a mine or support a pipeline or whatever the case may be through northern Wisconsin. And it's why people like Kristen and others in northern and northeast Wisconsin are active these days. Is somebody's got to watch out for our natural resources against those who basically want to serve as, you know, Snidely Whiplash member of Congress. That's what we have to deal with here these days.
It's true. And that part of the state so many natural resources, so much beauty. Tourism is a really important part of the economy for so many of those small towns. How Tom Tiffany fails to recognize that and actually acts in opposition to that, I just don't understand it, Pat. I don't know. Does he get it? Like, is he just being political? Is he just, what's the problem here? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, there on a couple of different levels, he is where he's acting. One of them is that mindset that the environment is there for us to use. It doesn't matter if our parents, grandparents did something bad with it. You know, it doesn't matter with what we're doing. It doesn't matter with what the future wants. It's there for us to use in the here and now. And to justify that. And the other, of course, is straight up politics that, again, in the advance of power, votes, donations, whatever, you will pass along just the worst version of your opponent because you can't have just a simple disagreement on the issues. And so that's like why people like Tiffany, like Van Orden and others will try to, as I say, muddy the waters. And we know that muddying the waters isn't an accident. It's a strategy. It's designed to make everybody feel numb about the need to know the difference between who's telling the truth and who's lying. And it's tempting for people to just throw up their hands and say, you know what? I don't know. I think they all lie. So, you know, what difference does it make? You and I both know that's exactly the strategy, is to muddy the waters and help people become numb to knowing the truth versus the lie.
Mm-hmm. And it just hurts us all. It makes it so hard for us to have real conversations about the things that affect us on the most fundamental, close to home level. All of those bread and butter issues, like being able to put food on the table and go outside and enjoy a sunset. I mean, the Boundary Waters, for crying out loud, if you've been to the Boundary Waters, there's nothing like it on Earth.
Right. And the that particular mining proposal, again, much like the ones that have been proposed for northern Wisconsin, there's nothing there that indicates it wouldn't have environmental problems. But then for Tiffany and for there's a Republican congressman from northern Minnesota, you know, to then say, well, you know, the liberals want to shut down all mining. It's like, I don't know if you've looked around northern Minnesota. There's a little mine. It's called the Iron Range. Okay. Yeah. There's mining going on in places, has for decades. But do you want to put a new mine right next to the Boundary Waters canoe area?
That's one of the coolest things I have learned from working in northern Minnesota is how they embrace that mining culture and how they have pivoted away from destructive mining that was ruining the places where they lived to being able to do it in an environmentally conscious way. And we can do that. There are absolutely ways that we can make that happen. So there are compromises that can be reached. Folks like Tom Tiffany and Derek Van Orden don't seem to get it or don't want to get it.
Well, they want to exacerbate differences. And you and I were discussing late last week a New York Times article that, again, talks about the urban-rural divide in America and specifically about Wisconsin. The writer cited Catherine Kramer, cited the Ron Johnson Mandela Barnes race with his strong support, Johnson's strong support across rural America, and why it's still as important as ever for people like you who ran for assembly and for people like me with this radio show to keep talking to rural Wisconsin and saying, look, there's things where we can't meet in the middle on. If you're believing what some of these folks are saying about certain, you know, racial issues and gender identity, and if you think it's okay to villainize people like that, we're not going to meet in the middle. But there are plenty of other issues where, frankly, you know, the Republicans are using those social issues to distract from how they're not working on your behalf on the things that actually affect you in your pocketbook. And that's why people like us, we continue prattling on Monday mornings like this.
It's true. I'm tired of the tomfoolery. I just want to talk to people, listen to people, and just try to solve some problems instead of all of this fear and confusion and misinformation that's flying around out there just so the wrong people can stay in power. Like, we've got a greater mission in life, and that's to actually elevate each other, make sure that we can live a good life and leave a good world for the kids who come behind us.
Yeah. And again, be sure you're looking at, you know, who's actually working on your behalf, the Inflation Reduction Act, with all of the renewable energy elements in there, going to create so many jobs across Wisconsin, manufacturing jobs, jobs that don't require a college education. That's real stuff that's being done, as opposed to, you know, just trashing college educated people, you know, trashing educators and what have you. You know, look for who is really working on your behalf. And I love the, like the flag or a pin or the pin and the bumper sticker that are going out around these days with the "Don't Tread on Me" flag. And it says, "Nobody is treading on you, sweetie."
It's like your mom said it to you, like, "Oh, honey.
Honey, nobody's treading on you." You want to do a little music history next?
You know I do, baby.
All right. Well, let's do that in just a bit. You're up north. What you're hearing here is from the Beatles' final public performance. It happened this day in 1969 on the roof of Apple Records. It was eventually shut down by police after just over a half dozen songs, most notably their Get Back, from, again, this day in 1969. It's just weird, Kristen, that for as much impact as the Beatles had, that they were really only in the you know, together publicly in a big way for about 6 years.
I know.
They did a lot.
And they evolved so much from, you know, the "Yeah, Yeah, Yeahs" to all of this complicated White Album stuff. Mm-hmm. Have you seen that documentary, Get Back?
I am about halfway through it. And I didn't pick it up again, but yeah, I've started watching it. And again, it's just, it's not something I have any talent at. So when you're watching a song literally be created in front of you, while at the same time they're dealing with the distractions of making an album and doing a video production or a TV special, it's just you understand why some artists, they do such brilliant work, but are going to burn out or just want to do something else after a while. It's really intense.
Yeah, it's, that documentary is so rich and detailed, and you really have to be a fan because it moves kind of slowly. But for those of us who love the Beatles, it's so good.
It really is. A couple of unfortunate incidents on this day in history and reminds us to some degree of current events, or at least the attitudes of some people. You might recall the Montgomery bus boycott that really helped launch the civil rights movement in the 1950s. Yeah, how would somebody respond to something like that? Well, on this day in 1956, Martin Luther King Jr.'s home was bombed in retaliation for the Montgomery bus boycott. And in 1972, British soldiers opened fire on 26 unarmed civilians during a peaceful protest march in Northern Ireland. 14 of them died. And the incident inspired Paul McCartney to write "Give Ireland Back to the Irish" and gave rise to the U2 song "Sunday, Bloody Sunday." On this day in 1951, a baby boy came into the world who is 72 years old today. This is Phil Collins. Singer and drummer from Genesis, and then, of course, a successful solo artist. Kristen, where are you on Phil Collins?
You know, I like him. I appreciate his talents. I'm not over the top with him.
Well, you know, I think I know why, but it's something I noticed quite some time back. I mean, some people, it's just like one love song after another. And for Phil Collins, it's like one breakup song after another, or a divorce, or just something like, you know, something accusatory toward the woman he's singing to or whatever. He's not Captain Romance. You know, he has the accompaniment. I had to look and grab one of the happy songs with two hearts, but you know, a lot of other ones are like shaking their fist. You hurt me. You like, okay, Phil, calm down.
Boy, Pat, I never really thought about it in that way. I was just listening and singing to the songs. But, you know, now I'll look at Phil Collins differently.
Oh, well, again, as you hear some of them, yeah, there's more than a couple of breakup songs there. On this day in 2016, David Bowie had his very first number one album, his first album that went to number one in the U.S. This is Black Star that you're going to hear in the back. And, of course, it became number one because David Bowie had died 20 days earlier. So it was after his passing that people were better appreciating his music. And this is the title track from Black Star. And then on this day in 2020, the World Health Organization declares the COVID-19 pandemic to be a public health emergency of international concern. So again, it was January 30th, 2020. And we hear this from the WHO. And I'd be interested, where were you 2 years ago on this? Because again, I think I'd heard maybe a news story or two that there's something mysterious going on in China. And then on this day, when the WHO made its declaration, I think I, like a whole bunch of other people, went, uh-oh.
Yeah.
This is going to be big.
Well, we knew that it was coming, watching what was happening over in Europe. I mean, luckily we had this perspective so we could see what was going to happen here. I was just in disbelief to see the way that we were handling it and the way that our president was messaging, like, oh yeah, this one guy has it, it'll be fine. Yep. He'll get better and no problem. That was obviously so irresponsible. But even at the time, I think many of us recognized that that's not really what's going to happen here.
I've said before that in these early days, now I don't remember if it was the March 17th date when Governor Evers basically shut everything down because it was finally, you know, getting so bad it had arrived here. If it was that date or sometime earlier, because we were hearing about the need to wear face masks and everything else. And I remember that at the time, people were very scared to hear this thing could kill upwards of 25,000 people. Mm-hmm. And we were with some friends, and one of the friends was expressing doubts, thinking that, you know, again, the medical community is just trying to scare us. And he knew that Sherry was a doctor and said, what do you think? And she said, I think it's going to kill at least 25,000 people. And it really kind of sobered him. And as we were walking back home, I said, you think 25,000? And she's like, oh no, at least 50,000. I mean, we couldn't even conceive of the time that it would kill more than 1 million Americans. We back then, we thought killing 25,000 people was going to be a real tragedy. Now it's so much more of a tragedy and yet somehow still being poo-pooed by people.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about that and with our Hometown Health segment on Thursday, actually, which is going to be about COVID, where we're at right now and where we go from here.
Tell us more. I've not heard of this Hometown Health segment. This is Thursdays at 7:30, you say?
Yes, it's this delightful little segment where we talk about the intersection between health and something else that's happening in the world. So we're going to talk with Dr. Ben Weston out of Milwaukee. He's been a leader statewide throughout the COVID pandemic, and he's going to give us a little update on the new vaccine recommendations and then what to expect in the future. The pandemic is still here.
Yes.
People, 300 to 500 people a day are still dying of COVID in this country, many more than typical, like a bad influenza season. So he's going to help us put it into perspective and try to give us a little bit of information about what's ahead.
All right. And then you can maybe say a little bit more about our guests in our next hour, Kate Duffy and Nicole Slavin, Moms for Mandela. Yeah. now their group is called Motherhood for Good. And I asked, would they like to come in every couple of weeks and do Motherhood Mondays? And they were quick to say yes, find ways to make today's political issues more understandable to busy parents and others. So I'm guessing you're in favor of this since you introduced me to them, after all.
Oh, man, I'm so in favor of this because, one, they're incredible women, two, they're moms, and three, they're real. They are looking at the world right now and thinking, man, things are not going well for our kids, for our neighbors, for each other. So they really want to make a difference, and they found their voice. And Pat, kudos to you for giving them the opportunity to express it.
Well, again, it's not so much, I mean, I can yodel all day, but they took part in a campaign. They fell short. They chose not to walk away. You took part in a campaign 2 years ago. You came up short. You chose not to walk away. So it's to all the moms like you that I sincerely say thank you, and that it's great to have you here.
Thank you. And could we do a day where you do yodel all day? That would be super fun.
No, we cannot. You have a great day. We'll see you Wednesday and Thursday.
I can't wait. Have fun today with my friends.
You got it. All right. As mentioned, Kate Duffy and Nicole Slavin coming up in our next hour. This is Up North News.